This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. This is a Joy 94.9 podcast for Generation Next. News, views, and opinions from the queer youth of today. The Generation Next podcast is presented to you with thanks to Joy sponsor, Equal Play.
I'm Jason Ball.
And I'm Gus Johnston.
Sport has been a massive part of our lives,
but for all the highs, sport can also be complex and at times pretty tough for those in the GLBTI community.
The Equal Play study is an opportunity to change all this. We're calling on people aged 14 to 23 who are same-sex attracted or gender diverse to share their experiences in sport and PE. Participate now at facebook.com/equalplay.
Minutes past seven, and this is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Tonight, you're joined by Dil, Vic, and Em.
Hello,
sup, players.
Player. Fantastic. I feel a bit like a player or a hustler.
Just get into the swing of things. It's Monday.
Yeah, it is.
We need to play the game of 7 days a week.
How does that game go?
Work Monday to Friday, or these days, Monday to Saturday.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, you rest. That's when the game shuts down.
I really had that this weekend. I worked all day Saturday.
Blah to that.
And what happened on Sunday?
On Sunday, my little dog got sick.
Oh,
it was really,
really
crappy weekend.
Wait. No, you got to tell them how the dog got sick.
Oh my God, I was going to call them painkillers. They're not painkillers. Snail killers. What's the word I'm looking for? Yeah. Well, okay, so I'm growing a potted herb garden.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay?
Yeah, it's totally awesome. And each little herb has its own little pot, and the pots are really eclectic, and I got them all from Op Shop / my family, and I love them a lot, but you need to put down snail killer, especially around like basil. Yeah, because it's quite a sweet leaf.
Oh, no, I know what it is. I do like to eat it.
Yeah.
Those snail killers.
I know.
Snails eat basil or the dirt? Yeah. Like the
No, they like the leaves. They like the leaves. They also eat lettuce, but I don't really grow lettuce. I think
there's
that's a bit of
little ways. Things.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But is your dog okay? Is she all good now?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, let's be honest. She's probably not going to last the year. She's pretty old. Yeah. So that's not so nice, but it is a fact of life that I am very aware of. And so when she did that, I was just like, Jerry, her name's Jerry, because she's a wranger.
Is that Jerry Hallowell?
Well, it's more because she used to belong to my grandparents and they had a dog before Jerry called Tom. And so it was like Tom and Jerry.
Oh, right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't think my grandparents were really down with Jerry Hallowell.
No.
It's a bit wrong.
I'm going to name my, if I ever have kids, Tom and Jerry it is.
Really?
I'm never gonna
don't you
have
think
kids.
That's a bit cruel?
I really wouldn't worry. I really don't plan on having kids.
Yeah. I think it's also very funny when animals get named humans' names. So, like, Dil, what's your cat's name?
My cat's name is George.
Why would you name your cat George?
Because I love him and feed him and pet him and I'll name him George. You know, from Looney Tunes when that big abominable snowman grabs Bugs Bunny and holds him captive and he treats him like a pet. I'm just seeing these blank stares.
Do you know how many episodes there are of Looney Tunes?
I know. I love Looney Tunes.
Hey, do you ever wonder why Donald Duck never wore pants, but when he got out of the shower,
he wore a towel?
Also to the beach.
I'm pretty sure I got that off Seinfeld, and I never got the answer.
He did the same thing with the beach. Like, in the beach episodes, he'd wear, like, this, like, sailor suit thing, and he's just like, why now?
What's such an independent duck?
Well, I mean, I think equivalent, like, I don't know, I would walk around in a towel if I was wearing underwear, but if I was wearing a bikini, I wouldn't. What is with that?
Oh, that's awkward.
That's true.
Wouldn't you guys do the same thing? Maybe
I
not.
Know. Some days when I'm at home.
In the bathroom, I take the clothes with me. I hate doing the walk with the towel. It annoys me.
Oh, well, right now I live by myself, so it's just really.
Dil doesn't even use a towel.
It's just great. I mean, I'm really embracing this living by myself thing at the moment. It's fantastic.
I'm really glad I brought this up.
Hey, so look. Oh, no, I'm the reason why we're here today. Yesterday was the 18th year of Pride March Melbourne, and it really was a truly amazing day to everyone who went to Pride March. And look, hey, if you were there, you should send us us your message and tell us what your favorite part of the day was. Text in on 0427JOY949 or, you know, if you had something a little bit longer you want to say, you can send us an email on onair@joy.org.au. And, yeah, because it was so much fun. Like, so much fun.
What was the highlight?
The highlight? I don't know, because I'm like leaving the Pride March because, you know, I marched with Joy.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me feel like a massive narcissist because, like, walking down the street and then people like cheering and clapping and I'm like, yeah, they like me.
You should have gone up to them and been like, do you want an autograph? Do you know who I am?
Oh, no, I can't be that. I'm not that bad yet. Give me another year. But Joy, we had...
We're still working with you.
Joy was actually surrounded by these dancers. So there were like all these young dancers that were in like suits and like salsa dresses. And they just like they were like our posse. And they marched, like they danced with us like the whole way down. And it was really
cool.
That's
so cool.
I love having an entourage.
Oh, it was awesome. It was so good. And they were all really, really cute as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I on the prize.
You gotta be pretty buff if you're a dancer.
Buff.
Buff, male or female, you know, you just got to be fit.
Well,
if
this
you're a dancer, don't you reckon?
I think she might have been like the leading energy. Chick.
You'd have to
she had a banging body. Like, I was just like, wow, what do you do? But then I kind of got embarrassed talking to her because I was like, you're really, really pretty. I'm going to be.
Is that how you feel when you talk to me?
All the time, Vic. All the time. And look, I also want to say another thing. It's one of my best friend's birthday today as well. So happy birthday to Nadia.
Happy birthday, Nadia.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And because now we're Russian. And yeah, this song's for Nadia. It's called My Gun by the Rubens. Listen to Generation Next on Joy.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Hey, this is Joel Creasy. You're listening to the twinkiest show on Joy, Generation Next.
It is 7:14 and 20 seconds. You are joined by Dill and Vic and Em. Well, do you want to know how many seconds there are on the dial?
Seconds. I'm laughing at 20 seconds and the fact that I just heard Twinkie. How am I supposed to do a serious show when I've got these things going on?
Sorry, never mention the seconds again. Apologies to anybody listening.
For the OCD people, they will really appreciate that.
Yeah, or what happens if, like, I don't know, you were cooking something and you had to have it exactly in the oven for, like, 20 minutes and you needed to know that 20 seconds.
Yeah, you need that.
You need that.
Thank you for that service, Em.
If anyone is in that predicament right now, please text in so I can prove Em wrong.
0427 Joy 949.
And, hey, yeah, and again, if anyone has got any messages about how much fun they had at Pride March or the whole Midsummer event, send us a message, 0427 Joy 949. Or you can give Frandesca a call on 1300 Joy 949 and or send us an email on onair@joy.org.au.
I did see a really fantastic performance as part of Midsummer at the Northcote Town Hall.
Oh, yeah,
what
was it?
The name has escaped me. It was a burlesque hour.
Ooh.
Hilarious.
Oh, that synchronized doing.
Yeah. A lot of, like, a big group, maybe like eight people or so, and they had like a catwalk down the middle of the hall and people sitting on little cabaret tables. And they would walk out and do these crazy acts. So, like, my favorite one was this girl/guy person with both gendered items, trying to be really PC as I say this, was walking down the catwalk in a bright red bikini and she was holding a really big bunch of red balloons and she kept walking up and down and this like crazy dun 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 kind of music was playing and in like this choreography she had needles on like all parts of her bikini and she just kept like smashing these balloons on her and they would pop in time to the music.
That would actually be quite entertaining.
It was amazing. And then, like, you know, the way that she was acting was like, I just want to get rid of all these balloons. And they'd all go. And then these people would bring out bigger balloons and bigger. And in the end, there was this enormous balloon, which she just kind of like ran at and dived into. It was amazing. It was so cool.
I'm scared to pop balloons. I don't know what it is. There's something I used to pop them when I was younger, but now I'm scared to. It'll backfire on me somehow. I don't exactly know what's going to backfire.
Should have been there for Pride March because the Joy balloons, they would just pop. Like,
out of nowhere.
Because of the heat? Because sometimes when the sun shines on them, yeah.
And the blades of grass were like daggers because like a balloon would fall on. And it was awesome because we're like blowing up balloons and then they kind of like fall off and then it's like pop, bang. Yeah. Awesome.
Are you just scared of the noise?
Yeah, we'll put it down to that.
Yeah. Do you get scared when your car backfires?
I don't think my car's ever backfired. Mm. What car do you drive?
I know one that goes, I can't do it. No, I'm just trying to think of something else that made a loud noise.
Oh, well, my phone is never on loud because I get a shock if the phone rings. Yeah. Really? Orcs, I don't know. Maybe I had something happen to me as a child and I just don't remember it.
Yeah.
Just to block it out.
Yeah.
Especially with a loud noise.
Loud noises! Yeah, I can't do it. And because
let's try and trigger a memory out of you, Vic.
Nah, my ringtone's like some trance song. And as much as I love it, I can't do it. Just can't do it. Mm. Phone on vibrate.
Mm.
At all times.
Mm. Very.
Well, I'm glad we've established that.
Yeah. Phone on vibrate, no loud noises. So
when Vass misses your calls, you know why.
So, after months of prep, everyone involved with the Midsummer and Pride March are now catching up on much-needed sleep because everyone who's been involved have just, it's paid off
a lot. Well, absolutely. You need everybody to get fully behind it to make it in such a big, celebratory thing.
Absolutely. And there were actually some really amazing outcomes. So, more than 2,000 people marched with over 120 groups and organizations that showed their pride on the day. The march was led by the incredible hunky and sweet Jason Ball, who I think I have like a bit of a man crush on him. And there was also, he was joined by Richmond Tigers' Dan Jackson and Carlton's Brock McLean, which was, I thought was pretty cool.
Mm.
So, other teams showing their thing.
Yeah.
And so we had also the Enough campaign. They marched for the first time. No to Homophobia also marched for the first time. Same with Defqlis and this, which is the Australian Defence.
Yeah, we interviewed them last week. Well,
yeah.
Not the entire.
No, but Vince Chong. Yeah. So he was really fun to hang out
with.
Yeah,
he was great.
There's a crow yelling at us.
I know. I could almost hear that in. I wonder if that came through.
I think it did. Oh, it's just really singing, serenading us.
Mm.
You know, they say the wildlife's disappearing, but here we are in the city. And the Victorian Police Deputy Commissioner, Tim Cartwright, said police representation in the march was the biggest ever in the 12 years that it had marched, with more than 60 police officers getting involved.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool too. Yeah. And the police force, they were... Wow. That crow is heckling me.
Come on, Dill. What's next?
What's next? Well, the police force, there was police officers in like... Well, there was one who was in his police shirt and then he was wearing a kilt and I was like, yes.
Ah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
A Scottish touch.
Yeah, I thought it was really like different. I've never seen that. Do you know if that's like an actual like police uniform?
I don't believe it is. I think that...
Not here, maybe.
No. I think that policemen need to wear...
Pants.
So they can run.
Pants on
trousers. Like, female policemen wear
trousers. I reckon they should wear more comfortable uniforms. The suit pants. How do you run with suit pants and, like, school shoes?
I think it's the school shoes is an issue. Suit pants. There's a lot of room in suit pants.
All right, so runners.
I've busted my suit pants many a time, like, hurtling for a tram. I have done that before. There was once I jumped onto a tram with suit pants. So.
Can I just say we actually have a text through saying, crow, crow.
We are they're really trying to get in the window as well.
We should take a photo.
Vic, you should totally take a photo up on our Facebook because I think this is insane. This one crow is like actually, it's a bit reminiscent of the birds, which is nice.
It's really sidetracking our...
It really hates me, actually.
It's actually, I don't know if you can hear, but its beak is tapping against the window and it's kind of cocking its head side on.
He's not an official
beady eyes.
He's not an official guest on our show tonight, but I mean, welcome.
I just love how it is looking at me, but right into my soul. That's my favorite part. But you definitely should post that photo onto our Facebook wall. And I think we should see how many likes we can get.
It's a bit freaky. Oh, okay, it just flew away.
There's another one. It's got its posse. What if it's getting more of its friends? We're trying to talk about Pride March here.
Yeah, keep going.
Yes, well, that's the Pride March wrap-up. I just realised that then.
We actually got a really great text in from Patrick and Hung from Braybrook, who say this Midsummer's Pride match was amazing and also marks their 8th anniversary. So congratulations, guys.
Oh, congrats.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Thanks for texting in as well. It's really nice to hear what you guys did on Pride.
I took a really blurry shot. No one judge me.
I just love the crow text. Thank you, whoever wrote that in. You became my favourite. And Generation X are also pleased to announce that Vic Health, La Trobe University and the Bouverie Centre are launching some very important new guidelines for health services working with same-sex parented families and gender-diverse families. So
yeah, so that's really interesting. You can go and check out this resource on the Bouverie website, which is www.bouverie.org.au. Basically, they've looked at a whole lot of different myths in society and talked about the reality and then talked about the implications for the health service. So one that I thought was really interesting is the myth that very few gay or lesbian people have children. And actually, 22% of lesbian couples and 3% of gay couples have a child living with them at home. So that's quite a high percentage. I don't know what the percentage is amongst the hetero population, but I feel like a quarter of the population basically having children is pretty high. It's pretty significant.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I like how they have like the implications for health services and like what they can do, like with the just in reference to that very few lesbian or gay people have children.
Mm.
Avoid assumptions that people who identify GLBT won't have children.
Yeah. And also to recognize that children may be an important future goal, I guess. If you're looking at like counselling services or services
exactly.
like fertility services, family planning places.
Another myth, which I find really illogical, gay families only live in inner city locations. Reality, just over 40% of the same-sex parented families who participated in our research lived in the inner metropolitan area, while 35% lived in other metropolitan areas, 16% of participants lived in regional, and 7% lived in rural/remote areas.
Mm. And generally the reason why it's that we do live in like cities and not so much like rural places is just because there's a bit more
acceptance.
Yeah, in the cities.
Small towns, I think, would be, unless you grew up there, maybe, would be a bit tough.
Even still, I think it'd be a bit difficult at the moment, maybe like in 10 years. But I mean, you still don't really see like interracial couples out in the country.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe we've got a bit of time to go before that happens.
Another interesting one I thought was the assumption that that children raised by gay and lesbian parents will grow up to be gay and lesbian. I remember we spoke to
Mitch,
yeah, who said he recounted coming out to his parents, who were both female, both mums, about how he was straight and he was really like worried about how that would be received.
Yeah, and the response was just laughter.
Yeah, yeah, that was really great. I thought how he, you know, he even felt like it was a coming out, like. He was really ashamed of being hetero in this, you know, family environment.
Who would think that you would be ashamed to be straight?
Absolutely. Well, his mum just turned to him and laughed from memory.
Yeah.
And just was like, really? No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this myth-busting reality is that the vast majority of rainbow children grow up to be heterosexual. So, that's interesting as well.
Because it is what it is. Can't become it. You just are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a secret club. Just saying.
Only the hot people join in.
Yeah.
I'm just nodding. We're not so hot.
There's also like a bit of a thing for what these organizations can do, like creating a welcoming environment, reflecting practice, like understanding that heterosexual norms pervade the social and cultural foundations of many institutions and may foster negative attitudes to same-sex families. So they need to like change it from the ground up. And there's like door opening questions as well where they have, it's really, really good. If you jump onto like the Vic Health, it goes through like all these different things that these organizations can do to be more accommodating.
Yeah.
Which I think is quite nice. It's quite nice.
I think it's quite good. Go and show all your heterosexual friends.
Yeah.
It's on my to-do list this week.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Why not get out there and do it? Hey, we've got a special treat for Gen Next listeners tonight. We'll be playing Lamine Sonko and the African Intelligence. And their track is called Voyage. And they'll be playing at Bar Open this Thursday. And it is an over 18s gig, but they are fantastic and really, really cool. And this song just really like takes you on a bit of a... bit of a journey.
Is it dancey?
It gets dancey. It starts off and it's kind of like
African, you know, dancey.
Yeah, and then it gets like the rap. There's a bit of a rap breakdown, and it's just awesome. It really, really gets you going.
Why don't we just listen to it?
We will listen to it. we'll listen to it right after these sensational announcements. You're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to a Joy 94.9 podcast for Generation Next. News, views, and opinions from the queer youth of today. The Generation Next podcast is presented to you with thanks to Joy sponsor, Equal Play.
I'm Jason Ball.
And I'm Gus Johnston.
Sport has been a massive part of our lives.
But for all the highs, sport can also be complex and at times pretty tough for those in the GLBTI community.
The Equal Play study is an opportunity to change all this. We're calling on people aged 14 to 23 who are same-sex attracted or gender diverse to share their experiences in sport and PE. Participate now at facebook.com/equalplay.
Generation Next on Joy 94.9. It is 26 minutes to 8. And yeah, we're about to move into some gay school, which I think is always fun.
Always a good time.
Always a great time. Especially when it's crowless.
Oh, the crow has left the window. Don't fear.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside. It's gay school.
Is that the flute in the? You know,
no, they're the nice birds.
No, no, no. Before the birds, is that a flute?
Da, 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 da. Oh, I think so.
I don't know. I wasn't listening that hard.
I just kept looking out the window, just making sure that bird, that crow, that
didn't
evil crow,
join in,
it was looking right. We were having direct eye contact. There was like this moment, like, you know when you pass someone in a car and it's like, hey, you cut me off.
No kudos either.
Yeah, it was one of those like, I will be outside.
What? It's all about the kudos. You're not a fan of the kudos? Where's my thank you wave?
Thank you wave?
Yeah, kudos, you know.
Kudos.
Gabe, I let you in, buddy. Where's my thank you?
Oh, yeah. The
I nod.
Wave. Nod's not good enough. No, I need a wave.
Hi.
A wave, a wink, a smile.
You know,
what's a nod?
There's
nod,
no way that I would be able to even see somebody wink. I'm so blind.
Hey, one, this is a great study that I came across today. Bullying study. It does get better for gay teens. And what the study came to say is it really does get better for gay and bisexual teens when it comes to being bullied. Although young gay men have it worse than their lesbian peers, according to the first long-term scientific evidence on how the problem changes over time.
Yeah, so this was a 7-year study that involved more than 4,000 teens in England, and apparently they set it up so they questioned them yearly over 7 years through the 2000s, the noughties.
The noughties.
Until they were 19 or 20 years old. And what they found kind of in a nutshell is at the start, just over half of 187 gay, lesbian and bisexual teens said they'd been bullied. And by the end of the study, that had dropped to 9% of gay and bisexual boys and 6% of lesbian and bisexual girls. Yeah. And so the study was kind of reflecting on why they think those stats have dropped, looking at like a whole bunch of different initiatives, things to do with like working in schools to prevent bullying, a lot of people within kind of sporting teams coming out, like it just becoming a bit more normalized.
It's become culturally accepting.
Yeah, absolutely. Basically. Well, that's one thing that came through the study. The cultural acceptance of gays and growing tolerance occurred during the study years, which partly explains the results, said the co-author Ian Rivers, who's a psychologist and professor of human Human Development at Brunel University in London, which sounds flash.
It does.
It also was, I think it benefited from, did you guys see the YouTube video that It Gets Better? I think I saw it once off one of the Facebook links.
Dan Savage?
Yeah, and it just pretty much, this was when all those suicides were happening. About just from not necessarily bullying because you were gay, because you were, literally because of the suicides. So.
Yeah, and I think these studies are really important because then it does help for, you know, people to go through these things. At least they can use it like as a reflective purpose. But by all means, if you are feeling suicidal or feeling a little bit alone, give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14. And they're a 24-hour service that they can talk to you.
Well, one thing that they had a couple of people like reflecting on the findings, and definitely as it's becoming more normal to be gay, lesbian, or like the attitudes are changing, they think that that's one of the reasons why bullying's gone down. But also another teacher in the US said that I mean, they've done a bunch of surveys, and the director of the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network said that in the US it was more common in middle schools for there to be bullying than high schools. So kind of also suggesting that as people themselves get older, it's not just like community changing, it's also people kind of growing up and realizing that, you know, don't bully and, you know, be who you want to be. There's nothing bad about that.
Yeah, and that's a funny thing. Like, when you do hit about, like, the senior years in high school, it does seem to drop off a fair bit. Like, a lot of the bullying does seem to slow down.
Yeah.
Damn those angsty teens.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Are you going to say something, Vic?
I was. And then I was just thinking, in my head, I'm not surprised to see that predominantly the main bullying occurred within men who were more feminine than the average man. Because other men were, like, they would be bullying by other males who weren't comfortable being around feminine men.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable around feminine men sometimes because they're outdoing me. But other than that, I've got no issue.
There's no bullying going on there.
No, not at all.
No.
Yeah. But yeah, that result was found in young gay men may reflect the fact that masculine tendencies in girls and women are more culturally acceptable than feminine in boys. So they were saying that girls are obviously more accepted as being gay than men are.
Yeah.
Which I'll have to agree, I would say. Because a cousin of mine is way older. He's like in his 40s and he had a hard time with my family, and then there's me and there's no issue.
Yeah. But did he have a hard time recently or when he was growing up?
When he was growing up, which would have been, you know, the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
So that was probably, it was definitely that different 20, 30 years ago.
That would have been a very, very hard time. Very different to time. Come out. Mm. Just quickly, actually, this is a really, really awesome thing. Gay sex convictions to go. At Victoria's Pride March in St Kilda yesterday, opposition leader Daniel Andrews announced Labor would remove criminal convictions related to gay sex prior to 1981 if it were elected in 2014. In 1981, homosexuality was decriminalised in Victoria. Liberal Piran MP Clem Newton-Brown has been investigating the issue over the past year and is putting together an options paper for Attorney General Robert Clark to consider. The time has come to clean the slate for those who have carried this weight for no other reason than they were gay at a time when that was held to be illegal, Andrew said. A conviction also has serious practical implications and may have prevented some gay men from getting employed and making a life for themselves. Newton Brown said Port Phillip council candidate Peter De Groot gave him Noel Tovey's book about his life and living with his conviction at last year's Midsummer Festival, which spurred him to take the issue on. Shadow Attorney General Martin Pakula said the issue should be referred to the Victorian Law Reform Commission.
1981, it was decriminalised.
Yeah.
That is really, like, it's not really that long ago.
No. I mean, it was like 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know why I didn't know that little fact, but I just thought it was way before 81.
I think it was definitely before Queensland. I think Queensland was like the absolute last to shift, which makes me, it tickles me because it's like Queensland, you know, that kind of like, I don't know, the irony's lost on me.
That's pretty funny.
We've got More Generation Next coming up right after this.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Generation Next. Love it.
17 minutes to 8, and you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9, joined tonight by Dil, Vic, and Em. We did get a text in just from Brad saying that we are and have always been normal, and the thing that had changed is our acceptance by the wider community. That comes from Brad, which is...
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty nice thing to say.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the context of saying normalized is just... is to really say more accepting rather than becoming kind of like a fad or something like that. Yeah,
absolutely. And it is great that we are accepted for the people that, you know, we're born as and that who we are, who we came to, you know, because we haven't, it's not like a, I think Ellen said it best, like when people were saying about her, people jumping onto the gay bandwagon and she was like, she said, look, it's not a party. There's no bandwagon. Sometimes we get together and sing family. We are family, but that's about it. That's where it stops.
She made a valid point.
Yeah.
Since the Midsummer Carnival on January 13th, nearly 700 people have backed the Enough campaign, which if you guys have heard recently, we'll be talking about the HIV stigma, and the Enough campaign is a national campaign that tackles that issue. So Living Positive Victoria President Sam Venning told Starbs over they had a fantastic response at Midsummer, and the community has come out in force to support the campaign. The campaign calls on signatories to take on HIV discrimination and support HIV positive people who fear disclosure. Olympic medalist Jai Wallace, Joy Radio presenter Dean Beck, and the Melbourne Chargers are Enough ambassadors. So that's good to hear that more people jumped on that bandwagon.
Can I just say, it just is like a bit of trashy celebrity goss. Jai Wallace's partner is incredibly buff and hot. And I just like turned around and it was really embarrassing, like really embarrassing, because like Joy 94.9, our little thing was like right there getting ready for Pride March, and Enough's was like right behind us. And I was just like standing there going, oh, what's that over there? Like every 5 minutes, I joke you not, just turning around and be like, oh, wow, no, I'm being a predator. Okay, awesome.
You are a predator. There's no I'm being one. You just are.
I just totally am.
It's totally all right to check out hot people.
But constantly?
Yes.
And the same one?
Yes. Unless you want to just take a photo and just look at that later.
I wish I did.
That's creepy. That is creepy, you guys.
Well, staring is creepy. What's the worst? Like,
yeah, totally. I don't know. I think that's a bit of an invasion of privacy. Just a little. So Jason Ball in the spotlight. Star Observer profiled Jason Ball last week as the openly gay AFL player ramps up his work as an ambassador challenging homophobia in sport. Over the weekend, Ball led Victoria's annual Pride March. He has also been inundated with speaking requests at high schools, camps, and events. In an interview with Star Observer, Ball said, I was able to talk about what it was like for me growing up in a football community being gay and how alone I felt in that environment because I didn't know if any gay AFL players. Oh, sorry, I didn't know of any AFL gay players, and suspected the worst in how they would react in terms of the language they used. Just for them to know how that affected me and to know we are gay people, we do exist in these footy teams and they're your mates. They're your teammates. And just to think about that, and they can make a real difference. Ball's profile perhaps influenced the decision of Carlton midfielder Brock McLean to become the first professional AFL footballer to take a stand for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex people last week. And Brock McLean actually stood up for his sister who came out as a lesbian, so he stood up as an ally.
That's good to hear. I like these little baby steps that are happening.
Mm. Yeah, it's nice.
In something that's not so positively happening, America's National Football League, so the NFL, is grappling with the uncomfortable question of homophobia in its culture after San Francisco 49ers comeback Chris Culver expressed an aversion to homosexuality during a radio interview just days before the Super Bowl. So it was in an interview with Fox Sports broadcaster Artie Lang on Tuesday last week, and he basically said that he wouldn't play with gay people on the team. And then the 49ers, which I guess was positive, in response released a statement saying that they rejected his comments and they were addressing the matter with him. And in their statement, they said there's no place for discrimination within our organization at any level, and we have and always will proudly support the LGBTI community. And the 49ers were actually the first NFL team to take part in the It Gets Better anti-homophobia campaign, which I think we've put up on our Facebook page previously.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Just talking about that in a video in support of young LGBTI people who are experiencing bullying at school.
That would have been pretty interesting to come from a place like San Francisco, because it is.
That'd be like going down to Paran. And just yeah, being like
that, exactly. That's exactly right. Like, you think if you, I don't know if he's from San Francisco or anything, but if you're going to be in a, if you're going to be living in a town, you should surely know what they represent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And San Francisco is quite a large.
Internationally
LGBT, yeah.
renowned.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like, definitely. I mean, I know mates that went to America and were like, yeah, we've got to go to San Fran.
Yeah.
Because they're so. Like accepting, and they're just so open, and it's
yeah,
it's like home.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got a member, one of our listeners, and he's from San Fran. And he listens to like most of the shows, so yeah, and he always like raps about that place. He's like, if you ever go to the States, you've got to go check out San Fran. Like, awesome.
I would love to go.
Yeah. A Family Voice prays for no discrimination change. Star Observer has reported that controversial Christian lobby group Family Voice Australia is literally praying for religious exemptions to remain in the national anti-discrimination changes. The organisation's website directed followers to pray over the Australia Day week to stop the normalisation of homosexuality and gender diversity, which they say will result from any changes to national anti-discrimination legislation. The organisation has recently been criticised for lobbying for the cancellation of a program that targets homophobia and transphobia in schools. Last year, a health report by Family Voice sent to New South Wales MPs warned that gay sex was like swimming in a sewer and was labelled as misleading junk by science and doctors. I love those guys. You know, they're just, whenever I feel like maybe I'm just a little crazy, just a little not right, I just look at what they have to say.
And then you feel better again.
I do.
I would agree with you. Would agree with you.
Or whenever I feel like, you know, I'm harboring a lot of hate, and then I just read what they've done. I'm like, I'm like Mary Poppins in comparison, like goodness and love.
Like, where are you going with Mary Poppins?
I don't know. I heard someone say it yesterday and I was like, plagiarize that.
A very exciting moment. The Mardi Gras Museum has opened in Sydney. The inaugural exhibition of Australia's first gay and lesbian museum officially opened last week at the Sydney Mardi Gras Museum. The exhibition focuses on the history of the parade from its beginning in the 70s to the present day. It features memorabilia and archival evidence such as photographs, costumes, posters and headlines from past festivals. The exhibition was launched by a host of prominent figures, including Sydney Lord Mayor Clover Moore. Clover. Moore said that the exhibition highlighted the vital role Mardi Gras played in the community, both for those who were part of it and people who are new to the culture. Moore said that there are a lot of young gay people who don't know the history. They never went through the AIDS epidemic or the candlelight vigils, and it's important that they realise what it took to get to where we are. While the exhibition will run throughout Mardi Gras until March the 3rd, a permanent site for the museum has yet to be agreed upon. Mardi Gras would continue to push for a permanent museum in Taylor Square. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's really, really awesome because Mardi Gras and Pride March, they weren't always this great festival where, you know, we get to get a bit debauched and have a lot of fun. It was to protest for our rights. And it was around the times of the legalization of, same-sex. Same-sex. Does that sound right?
Same-sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all know what you mean.
We got it.
Excellent. An LGBT group makes case. A public hearing into the federal government's controversial anti-discrimination legislation saw LGBTI rights advocates and Christian charities state their grievances with the bill in New South Wales last week. Representatives from New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby and organisation Intersex International Australia, who pushed for the removal of religious exemptions and recognition of intersex people in the legislation, met with a frosty reception from Liberal senators. Liberal Senator Scott Ryan said the removal of the exemptions which allow religious bodies to discriminate in their hiring practices could lead to a slippery slope ending in regulating what Christian schools teach their students. OII Australia President Gina Wilson said that while overall the OII was satisfied with the hearing, the views of some senators were cause for concern. Senator Brandis took exception to Wilson's claim that discriminating against intersex people for their physical or biological characters was no different from discrimination on the basis of skin colour. During the speaking time given to the LGBTI representatives, Brandis repeatedly left the room for long periods. The committee will report its findings in February, and I'm sure they will be pretty biased, I think.
I love politics.
Bloody politics. Hey, we got another text in from Brad, and he was talking about San Fran after we were having a chat about that.
Yeah.
So, the 49ers actually asked the gay men's chorus to record their team's theme or cheer song sometime, he reckons, in around the 80s. And he said, again, they were one of the first to come on board with the It Gets Better program. That's pretty cool.
That is good to hear.
I like that.
I think we always knew San Fran was very supportive.
Yeah.
Very supportive. Yep. I feel sorry for that football player. Coming to get you.
Yeah, it's just a bit of an idiot.
It's just, I just don't understand it. You know, it's really, it's hard for me to try
San
and work
Fran
out.
Lost today, didn't they?
In the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think they did.
I just was really confused when I turned on the TV today because I was like, a Beyonce concert? And I'm like, oh.
I was just excited about Beyonce, man. That was she's amazing.
That was a
she redeemed
gig.
Herself.
Because didn't she not sing live or something?
No, she lip-read.
Yeah,
lip read.
She got lip-synced.
Oh, when was that?
Lip-synced.
Was that for the...
Why would I say lip-read?
Was that for the football that she lip-synced or was that something else?
I don't know. I can't. I'm not a big sporting fan. I like Beyonce. I don't like sport.
We'll wait for Ed to give us an update.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. When's he back on?
End of the month.
Great.
Yeah.
Ed Pitts from The Opportunity.
Oh, yeah. We got another article. Time for another.
Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts of America. They've announced that they may end their policy of barring gay boys, I should say, from membership and gay or lesbian adults from serving as leaders. It's a change from their position of 6 months ago when they announced that they would retain their ban. However, they've been reconsidering ending it and allowing local scouting groups to choose for themselves. Since 1991, the organisation has adopted a platform which states that homosexuality is inconsistent with the Scout Oath. At the time, the Boy Scouts America Association said the policy reflected the beliefs and perspectives of the organisation, but they also understood that no single policy would accommodate the many diverse views amongst their membership. And the vast majority of parents or youth they serve value their right to address issues of same-sex orientation within their family with spiritual advisors at the appropriate time and in the right setting. The group has spent 2 years reconsidering the ban and was presented with a 275,000 signature petition in June asking for it to be dropped. That's a lot of people.
Lucky I left the Scouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, were you saying you were scared of the Scouts?
I was scared of the I was scared of the dark, and Scouts was on from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. when I was like, I would have been, I reckon, 11 or 12. So fairly kind of grown up, like, shouldn't have been scared of the dark. But it was scary. I don't know why. It was just when my mate had told me about that whole Bloody Mary theory. And I'm not a fan of scary movies. I do not find scary movies entertaining. I don't know how people do find that entertaining.
No, I don't find them entertaining either.
It just scares the crap out of me. So, I left the Scouts after two nights and gave back my uniform.
Wow.
Which was very upsetting. And I didn't get to go on the camps.
Oh, no.
Because that involved darkness. And, we weren't ready for that yet.
Did you have to sleep with a bedside light?
I did for a bit, but yeah. I used to strategically go to bed before my parents did. So, and I used to be able to see the light from the dining room, from like my bedroom.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
It was like my little nightlight.
Did you ever do that running jump thing onto a mattress? I used to do that when I was
Maybe
scared.
Maybe for
of,
fun, not when I was scared.
Yeah, I was scared of what was living under the bed. I used to do like, fwah, fwah, fwah.
Love the sound effects. Hey, we've got 3 minutes to wait, but you should, guys, blah, 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 blah. That was all worded really Yoda-ish for me then. Yeah, stick around for Worldwide Waves because they're coming up right after this. See you next week, guys.
See ya.
Become a Joy member so we can give you the best shows every day. Call 1-300-JOY-949.
You've been listening to a Joy 94.9 podcast for Generation Next. News, views, and opinions from the queer youth of today. The Generation Next podcast is presented to you with thanks to Joy sponsor, Equal Play.
I'm Jason Ball.
And I'm Gus Johnston.
Sport has been a massive part of our lives.
But for all the highs, sport can also be complex and at times pretty tough for those in the GLBTI community.
The Equal Play study is an opportunity to change all this. We're calling on people aged 14 to 23 who are same-sex attracted or gender diverse to share their experiences in sport and PE. Participate now at facebook.com/equalplay.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.